Thanks, Jerry. And Joe, enjoy your Sunday evening out in the rainy city. We will. Blue Jays talk it up right now. 416-870-0590. Star 590. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays beat the Rangers 3-2. They've won 6 of their last 9 one-run games. They've won 18 of their last 24 overall. And with the Tampa Bay Rays maybe losing today, they're down 5-3 late. The Blue Jays could move to within a game of first place. Of course, the Yankees have to lose too, and the Yankees right now are tied with the Houston Astros 1-1 as they play in the bottom of the seventh inning. We will keep an eye on that stuff for you because, well, it's fun. It's the end of June. You can look at the standings now. Almost halfway through the season, the Blue Jays are 41-36. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Russ is in New Jersey. Russ, your leadoff man, welcome aboard.
Good afternoon, Mike. You know, I was going to say, I heard the end of it, but I was going to say the same thing as I heard Jerry and Joe. You know, in the beginning, till the Tampa game, we'd won one game scoring 3 runs or less. That was the Yankee game early on. 2 wins of the last 4 games, you know, and you're going to need that because the hitting's not going to hit every single day as good as the offense is. You know, if you think about it, in the last, since that Angels series, and even the 2 games before Houston, yesterday was the first game that I think in the last 40 games where the game, you know, the Blue Jays weren't in the game in the 8th inning. They've had, you know, till yesterday, had 1 loss by more than 2 runs, which was the Baltimore game, which they were tied in the 9th inning. And they basically, all their losses, they've been, even when they haven't won, they've had a chance to win late. And that's what good teams are about. The only question I have for you is Drew Hutchinson. You know, as the opening day starter, he's really, you look at his last 11, or just looking at his last 11 starts, besides the White Sox game, even when he's pitched well, you know, he's giving you 5.5 2/3, 6 innings. What do you think the problem is with Hutchinson? Even today, you know, he pitched not bad, but you want to see your starter go 7 innings when he can, and it's not always. But, you know, he's only had 1 start more than, I think, 6 innings in the past 11 starts, and that was the one that he pitched so well against the White Sox. What do you think the problem with him has been this year?
Well, first, let's take opening day starter out of the equation. I think that changes the eye level of what we're looking at when we're talking about Drew Hutchinson. Drew Hutchinson's not the ace of this team. Drew Hutchinson was never supposed to be the ace of this team. He got the opening day start for a number of reasons. They didn't want Mark Burley pitching against the Yankees. They wanted to make sure Hutchinson pitched against the Baltimore Orioles, and they wanted to get the extra lefty in with Norris against they want to get the lefty in with Norris against the Yankees, and you had 2 21-year-olds, so there it was either Dickey or Hutchinson, and they chose Hutchinson. So opening day starter is outside the equation. When you look at the numbers, he's pitched into the seventh a couple of times over that length that you're talking about, but he's only pitched 7 or more innings twice all year. April 23rd against the Orioles and that game against the White Sox that you mentioned. I don't know what the problem is because we've seen it kind of click in for him, and he goes on a little run for a bunch of outs in a row like he did today in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And he threw 23 pitches in the 4th and 5th innings. But then he threw 22 in the 3rd and 22 in the 6th and getting only 2 outs. And he did get nickel and dimed in the 6th. It was a bad luck inning for him. But he has not been consistently good at all this season. It's been up and down, and it's been more down than up. And he hasn't been able to handle big leads. He hasn't been able to get deep in games. I think it's just part of the learning process for a young pitcher. This is only Drew Hutchinson's 2nd full season in the major leagues. And, you know, we talked about it before the game, Joe and I, were expectations set too high for Drew Hutchinson because we kind of put him in the Dickey Burley camp rather than the Norris Sanchez camp at the beginning of the year because Sanchez and Norris were so young. But for me, I really do think it's the growing pains of a good young pitcher.
Let me ask you like this, Mike. If the Blue Jays were, and it's a little bit of a stupid question, but I'm going to ask you, if the Blue Jays were able to get a good starting pitcher, I know everyone's, you know, it thinks that, you know, Johnny Cueto, you get him for a bag of balls. But if they were able to get it, now, I'm not telling you Marco Estrada's Bob Gibson or anything.
Right,
okay?
Right.
I'm not, but the bottom line is, if you look at the five pitchers, when Aaron Sanchez was healthy, okay, he was maybe the last few starts that he had, he was pitching very well.
Yep.
Marco Estrada has been very good, except for that Boston game that he struggled. And Burley's been excellent, and Dickey's been. Who would you? Of course, Johnny Cueto is an upgrade over basically anyone you get in that starting rotation. But who would you put in there instead of, if Sanchez is healthy, of the five starters? Are you taking, you know, Marco Estrada out and putting him in the bullpen and strengthening your bullpen? Who's the guy that you think comes out if you're able to acquire that starting pitcher?
I think Sanchez goes to the bullpen.
Okay.
I think that because of the injury, you know, it'll get him back faster. You won't have to stretch him out as much. He won't need as much rehab work to come be a guy who pitches an inning or two. His innings will still go up from where they were last year and prepare him to be a starting pitcher for the team again next year. But if he hadn't been hurt, it would be Estrada. And Estrada would go back to the bullpen because he's not a guy who has shouldered the load of a, you know, a full season in the starting rotation like they're going to ask him to do now. But because of the injury to Sanchez, I think he goes to the bullpen if the Blue Jays pick up a big-time starter in a trade.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Russ. Appreciate the call. Always good to hear from you. Blue Jays 3, Rangers 2. Jays win a game where they don't score 5 runs. They win a 1-run game. Good bullpen work. As you know, people are talking about a 50% conversion rate for the saves, but the Blue Jays had 4 relievers pitching in save situations today. They only got 1 save, but 4 save situations, 0 blown saves for the Blue Jays today, and they all had a chance to do it. Aaron Loop came in with the bases loaded in a 2-run game. Bo Schultz came in with 2 on in a 1-run game. Steve Delabar came in for a clean inning but gave up a leadoff double in a 1-run game. Roberto Osuna came on with the tying run at 3rd in the 8th and then gave up a leadoff double in the 9th. So they all had the opportunity to blow the save, and they all managed to get the job done. We'll hear from the skipper, John Gibbons, in a second. First, back to the phones. Frank in Hamilton, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
How you doing? We talked Tuesday night a little bit about this pen issue, so I figured I'd give you a dingle when things were going well. It wasn't overall. It was a great game, a good baseball game to watch. I would have liked to see Carrera take a little bit more of a relaxed approach, I guess, on that fly ball out instead of trying to hose the guy back out at 2. That could have got dangerous in a real hurry. I'm not real big. I know we talked a little bit about Osuna being the closer, and yeah, obviously this stuff's electric. I still think he's a better setup person in an eighth inning, just for the sake of him being 20. His mannerism on the mound is fantastic, don't get me wrong. But I'm not sure I'd like to gamble on having him stay on the mound at Yankee Stadium in an ALCS trying to close out a game. It's just a gamble that, you know, not saying that he couldn't do it, but I would be more comfortable with somebody else back there that has been there and done that, as I said before. Just listen to your previous caller there. I kind of like that idea, is if the starter did come along, to bring Sanchez back. I think that maybe kills 2 birds with 1 stone. If you get that starter, Sanchez comes back to the pen and kind of gives you that secondary arm back there that can really gas people away. Just your thoughts on that, or any questions that you would have towards that for me that I'd like to talk about.
Well, but you don't want Osuna as the closer, because he's young and he's never done it before. Aaron Sanchez is only 21. I mean, he'll be 22 in a couple of days, but he's young too, and he's never done it before either. So why do you want Sanchez back there?
Well, Sanchez did do it last year for a little while. And
he wasn't the closer, though. I mean, he had a couple of saves.
Well,
Osuna, right? I mean, Osuna will have had more opportunities than Sanchez by the time Sanchez comes back. So I don't get why you like one, not the other.
I'm not saying that I don't like Osuna. I'm just saying that.
Well, no, but I don't get why you're more comfortable with one than the other. Let's say that.
because there isn't another option available, really, if for whatever reason Osuna does struggle or something like that. There is no real fireball arm down there that can just sit up there and take three pitches and say, sit down, you're done. I mean,
well, but how many of those guys really are there? You've got I understand what you're saying when, you know, you talk about a real fireball arm. You're talking about this proven closer guy where there are like eight or nine in the major leagues. But Bo Schultz throws 98. Liam Hendricks throws 97. Steve Delabar throws 95. You've got a lot of big-time arms back there in that bullpen.
Yeah, I don't know. My opinion is I don't see them as full backing guys, and I hope Osuna can do it. I mean, he's got the makeup to do it. Everything about him looks that way. But you know, you got to start playing 7-inning games. You need a Ward Hanke lockout. You need an Andrew Miller or Betances lockout that's in New York. And the sooner that you get to that point with that offense, you're not going to be ever out of games. And I would much prefer them go out and get the closer. But as you're talking about the starter and bringing somebody in, the best option would be if you're going to give up some prospects and you're going to sell a little bit of the farm to try to get a pitcher or a player in, if you get the starter in, you automatically can shore up the bullpen even further now by moving Sanchez back. So those are my thoughts on it. Again, I'm not necessarily trying to pound down the pen and say they're no good, they're no good, they're no good. I'm just saying that this team really doesn't need a lot. But if they do, I feel that's the place they need to add.
Okay, and so noted. I appreciate it. Your thoughts are a little contradictory, I think. I mean, first of all, it's not like there are Ward Henkes all over the place. And when you talk about Betances and Miller, you're talking about, first of all, Miller's hurt. But second of all, Miller has had one good season in his major league career. And Betances is just a kid who's never been a closer, just like Sanchez and Osuna. So I think it's the paranoid Toronto fan glasses that you've got on that are seeing those guys are better than our guys because those guys aren't our guys. And that's really the only reason, you know, to consider Betances Miller a lockdown Ward Henke, but not Sanchez Osuna, is based solely on the fact that they're Yankees. And who knows if Andrew Miller's even going to pitch again this year, and if he does, if he'll be back for more than a week or two. I think if Aaron Sanchez is the Aaron Sanchez that he was last year, and this is the real Roberto Osuna that we've seen all year long, and with this great arm and being able to just go nuts for four or five outs, I think that's a phenomenal back end of the bullpen, and it moves Delabar and Cecil and Loop and Hendricks all back to be able to get out of those sixth and seventh inning jams or just pitch the sixth and seventh. And this bullpen is all of a sudden looking pretty good. If the Blue Jays acquire a starting pitcher in trade and send Aaron Sanchez back to the bullpen, if Marco Estrada can hold up all year, if Drew Hutchison continues to kind of dance between the raindrops, and if R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley keep being R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley. More of your phone calls coming up, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. But right now, let's hear from the skipper, John Gibbons, in the wake of today's 3-2 win over the Texas Rangers.
Gibby, that was a bit of a nail-biter going through the final three innings where you'd get in and out of trouble. How's it? I don't even know what I'm asking.
I think that's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? Now, bottom line, they came through. You know, I mean, they got a good team over there. They're pesky. They got, you know, it's a different look than you'll see a lot of teams, you know, with, you know, great speed. And they got some pretty good hitters in there, a lot of power. Pitch was great on both sides, really. I mean, our guys, Hutch was really good today, you know, on down, you know, getting, like you said, getting out of some, you know, jams in a tight ball game. Well, that was huge. Well, that's why we won it. But it was a battle. I mean, they threw some pretty good pitching at us that they hit. You know, that's what they do. But big win for us.
Gibby, is this as clear a vision you've had of your bullpen as you've had all season in terms of roles?
A vision. Clear vision. Well, I tell you, I feel good right now. You know, when we moved Cease out of that closer's role, it's been kind of, you know, how are we going to do it? We're going to do Osuna, Delabar. You know, Osuna, it's a second one right there, you know, more than an inning. And he, no doubt in my mind, he can do it and be really good at it. But, yeah, I mean, I have a pretty good idea what I want to do. We'll see how all that plays out.
Gibby, on a day where starting pitcher wasn't making very many mistakes, just talk about the at-bat that Josh had and being able to give you guys that lead.
Well, yeah, that was the first hit of the game, too. Josh, I can't say he's been struggling at all lately because he really hasn't, because he's been barreling everything, it seems like, but he's hitting a lot of Adam balls, and then get us back on the board there. Of course, you're looking for that first hit and to play to run on it. That's a huge thing right there. And but, yeah, Gonzalez was good. All three guys, they threw at us. Even the kid the first night, he's got great numbers. We just hit him around a little bit. So that's what they do over there. So it's not an easy pitching staff to face. But, yeah, they get in that first one, especially if we didn't have many hits yesterday and then we were shut down early today. Yeah, we needed that.
John, it seemed like we talked a lot about Castro's changeup in spring training, but Osuna's, are there many 20-year-olds who you've seen who have as refined a changeup as that? It seemed like he locked up the strikeout there in the eighth and then Moreland in that final at bat.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's many out there that do. Most of them aren't even close to being in the big leagues normally. But it goes back to, I think we've talked before, in spring training, Russell really made him use that. He had it, but it wasn't this kind of pitch. But he made him use it. And, it's only spring training, but it's still competition. That's the key. But Hutch had a good changeup tonight, too, that he threw more than he normally does, which is big for him as well. So, that's when Russ brought that out of both those guys. Because, you got to be able to do that. And, a guy like Osuna throwing as hard as he does, there's been some good ones that those power changeups that had great careers.
Gibby, 12 of 18 Donaldson home runs have tied a game or put you guys ahead. Are there players that have that knack that you've seen through the years?
Yeah, well, he's a special guy. There's not many of them that you see that. I say that because he's done it so many times. And it's hard to do, but he's one of those guys. I've said before too. He's not afraid to fail, and he wants to be in that position, but that's real hard to do. Going back over the years, probably be tough for me to come up with any names. If we won a few more games over the years, I probably could give you some names.
Gibby, are you concerned at all with Hutch in that he lately he hasn't been able to go very deep in games? I think that's the sixth time in the last seven starts he hasn't been able to go six.
Well, when he's getting a lot of strikeouts like he did today, he's gonna throw a lot more pitches. No, I'm not concerned about him at all, really. He's 8-1, name of the game's winning for whatever reason. He's been getting a lot of run support, but today he didn't. He got enough, and he was great today. But we've seen him on stretches like that when he's on. He can dominate. Some good hitters. No, I can't worry about that.
There's John Gibbons, Blue Jays skipper. The Jays beat the Rangers 3-2, and the Jays are now a game out of first place in the American League East. Tampa Bay Rays lost 5-3 to the Boston Red Sox. Red Sox will be here for a four-game series that begins tomorrow night. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. The Astros are leading the Yankees 2-1 as they play in the bottom of the eighth inning. So if Luke Gregerson can nail down the save in the ninth, then the Blue Jays will remain a game out of first place. If the Yankees win, the Jays will be a game and a half out, and the Yankees will hop over Tampa for first place in the division. We'll let you know, because that game should be over unless it gets tied up before we're off the air. And we are on until the bottom of the hour across the country. And we'll continue to Jays Talk It Up on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, right up until 5 o'clock Eastern. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. And if you're not on hold, get on hold. Give us a call. Let's go across the pond. Mark is in North Wales. We don't get too many Welsh callers around here. Mark, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you for taking my call. I think I've called you a couple of times. I'm probably the only Welsh Blue Jays caller.
We are thrilled to have you.
Oh, thank you. No, I was just going to say, just to talk Gibby up a bit, you always say that your manager can't win you a game, he can only lose you a game. But I felt like tonight that Gibby pretty much went halfway to winning the game for us tonight. He made all the right calls in all the right spots, and the guys he called to the mound did their jobs, and that's all we can really ask for the bullpen. So I just felt like Gibby deserves a lot of credit. He can't throw the strikes, but he made the right calls at the right times. So I thought that was fantastic.
Well, I mean, I've always considered him to be a really, really good manager of a bullpen, and he showed it again today and showed that he's not afraid to go to a guy for a four-out save and get the guys out when you need to, put the right guys in. I don't think I've ever said a manager can't win you games, but he can lose you games. I've said that he can lose a lot more than he can win.
Sure, yeah.
But this is, this was great performances again by Loop, by Schultz, and by Asuna when they needed him.
Definitely, definitely. Just one more thing I just wanted to say. I think it's a lot of Blue Jays fans call in, and there can sometimes be a lot of negativity, especially when we lose. And I think, I mean, I've been a fan since '95, since I spent a summer living in Nova Scotia, and I've always loved the game, and I think this Blue Jays team is just such a fantastic team to watch. Whether we win or lose, it always feels like we're in a game, and when we're not in a game, we're being shot down by another fantastic pitcher like Gallardo or Zimmerman earlier in the year, and sometimes it's just a pleasure to watch those guys pitch. So I think sometimes it's just we should relax a bit more, realise we've got a great 1-9, and that if we are getting beat, we're getting beat by a pretty damn good pitcher.
Fair enough. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the call, especially on a day you don't have to stay up too late to listen to us. Look, the truth of the matter is, like the first caller pointed out, Russ in Jersey, the Blue Jays have been in pretty much every game they've played this year, and yesterday was the only one that I can remember where they didn't have a chance to tie the game in the eighth or ninth of a game that they were losing. So it has been just incredibly fun to watch. Can be frustrating. Sure, they're only five games over .500. But this is an exciting team. An amazingly exciting team. This is a team that had a 7 spot dropped on it a week ago and scored 6 in the bottom of that inning and took the lead at one point. It's just so much fun to watch. And I know people love to tear their hair out and get frustrated, and because they're in every game, it feels like they should win every game. But they're winning their share, and it's getting better. Dave in Vancouver.
Mike, the name of the game is to entertain. And as we've been saying from the first game of the year, the Blue Jays entertain. And, you know, just because you have the play of the game, your last caller from Wills there, he's the caller of the game. Nice call from the gentleman. You know, Mike, I got to profusely apologize to you because you're absolutely right.
Is it because you called another radio station today?
No,
I heard you on a competitor's radio station today. I don't like that, Dave. You got to be loyal.
Today?
Yep.
I don't think I'd be on. Well, maybe you were in the morning talking basketball.
Uh-huh. Not good.
A little bit different.
No,
talking baseball.
No.
Okay.
Loyalty's important, Dave.
Give me a 4-year no-cut contract, I'm with you. But, hey, listen, bottom line, I got to apologize to you because you're absolutely right. I was up by 3 degrees. It was only 78. But, you know, yesterday we got in the 90s. We're up in the 90s today. But in the interior, in the wine country of British Columbia, God's country, we're up into the high, well, 98. You know, a lot of heat, kind of like thrown by Osuna. So I kind of like that. And as people have pointed out, we do have some heat in that bullpen. It is pitching better. And, you know, the bottom line here is we get through the Grand Rapids, you know, Category 5 of July, of all those road games, and we've been playing better on the road, but we come out 500 through there. I like our chances come August and September, and we bring playoff games to Toronto in October. How do you like that idea, Mike, where you're broadcasting in October? I kind of like it.
Sounds good to me.
There you go.
I expect it to happen.
Wait, one other thing I wanted to mention, you know, I got to quickly say, Kevin from the Lake Creek, he is making Pelavrian catches. Just fantastic, some of these plays. You could do a whole hour on him just on the catches he's made this year. Just,
yeah, you could.
You know, and I got to watch the kid in Vancouver, and I said, this kid's going to make the majors. Mike, as usual, great program. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Yeah, the 11-game hit streak came to an end for Kevin Pillar today. He was 0-3, but Blue Jays win, so we'll take it. They beat the Texas Rangers 3-2. More of your calls, and we'll hear from Josh Donaldson a little bit later on. I'm going to let the network go at the bottom of the hour. It is the Honda pregame show. It's the Honda postgame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 3-2. They won 7 out of their 9 series this month, losing 2 out of 3 to the Orioles and getting swept in a mini 2-gamer by the Mets, and then they came back and swept the Mets in the mini 2-gamer back here. The Jays at 41-36 have 2 games left in June, and if they win them both, they will establish a club record with a 20th win in the month of June. Right now, the Houston Astros lead the New York Yankees 3-1. In the bottom of the eighth inning, if they hold on to win that game, the Jays will be just a game out of first place in the AL East. The Red Sox beat the Tampa Bay Rays 5-3 earlier today. And those Red Sox are on their way to Toronto. They'll open up a 4-game set tomorrow. We're on the air at 7 Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch, R.A. Dickey against Clay Buchholz. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. Jays Talk continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.ca/590. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Brian Calhoun, and Mark Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye. Devin swings. It's a line drive deep left field. That is going to get past Gallo and up off the wall on a hop. Carrera rounding third. Here he comes. Here's the throw. The slide. He is safe. It's an RBI double for Devin Travis. That gave the Blue Jays a 2-0 lead in the fifth. Jose Reyes would follow that with an RBI single. Made it 3-0 Jays. Then the Blue Jays held on for dear life for a 3-2 win over the Texas Rangers. Drew Hutchison gets the win to improve to 8-1, but he left with the bases loaded in the sixth. And that 3-1 lead, and Aaron Loop came on and got a big strikeout of Leonis Martin to get out of that jam. Loop then loaded the bases in the seventh inning, and Bo Schultz got out of that jam, giving up a run. Steve Delabar came on in the eighth, gave up a leadoff double, and a two-out walk, and Roberto Osuna came on. Got out of that jam, and then Osuna got out of his own jam after giving up a leadoff double in the ninth, and the Blue Jays had a win 3-2 with 3 1/3 innings of one-run ball from their much-maligned bullpen. 3 holds and a save, 4 save situations, and no blown saves, and the Blue Jays get a win. They've won 7 of their 9 series in the month of June. The Boston Red Sox are in here tomorrow, and again, the Jays currently a game out of first place in the American League East, pending the outcome of the Yankee-Astros game. Houston leads 3-1 in the ninth, and if the Astros hold on to win, that will remain the same. It'll be the Blue Jays. It'll be the Rays in first by a half game over the Yankees and Orioles, and a game over the Blue Jays. The Orioles, with a win in the nightcap of their doubleheader, could move into a tie for first. Regardless, any way that you slice it, there are 4 teams within a game of first place in the American League East if the Astros beat the Yankees. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 3-2, and we're taking your phone calls on Jays Talk, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Doug in Toronto. Doug, you're up next on Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hi there, Mike.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, I love the analysis that you and Jerry do during the game. You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks.
So I'm just thinking of the Kansas City Royals last year and their pen, their 1-2-3 punch in the late innings and how dominant that was. And I'm looking at Osuna. The kid is lights out, no question. When Sanchez comes back, if you put him in the pen, he potentially could be lights out as well. So that leaves one more piece. Can we go after K-Rod? Can we go after Papelbon? What do you think?
I'm sure they can. I don't know that, you know.
Well, you know, KT.
I don't know you want to give up what you would need to give up to get them when you kind of need a starting pitcher a little bit more.
I'm just, like, I'm drawing that comparison with KC last year, and they made their run with average to above average starting pitching, which is kind of similar to what we have.
And they had the three dominant arms in the back of the bullpen, which no one's ever had before to the extent that the Kansas City Royals did.
We could potentially have that with Sanchez, Asuna, and one of those two guys, I think.
I think Sanchez and Asuna have a chance to be better than either of those two guys. I don't know how much I trust Papelbon. I mean, I know he's getting the job done, but the stuff is decreasing. He's turning himself into sort of a different pitcher, and maybe that won't go over as well in the American League. Rodriguez gave up so many home runs last year.
Well, that's true, yeah. But some of the scouting reports on Papelbon have said that he's actually pitching better. He's locating his slider a lot better than he used to.
Well, he'd have to be because his velocity's dropping.
That's true. That's true.
You know, I think that you don't need the 1-2-3 punch. I think that would be a luxury at this point. I think this team has other needs. They need to be better in the rotation long term, and the offense is so good that you don't need killer anything on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you can get a Papelbon or a Francisco Rodriguez, it's gravy. It also means you have to make them the closer, even if the other guys are pitching better, which could be problematic down the stretch. I think a starting pitcher would be a better one to go after. I appreciate the call. I want to get to as many people as possible. So let's get to Eddie in Fort Erie. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I have a couple of things. First thing is about the game today. I mean, like, let me just say, this kid, Roberto Asuna, he is so calm, cool, and collected, especially in a one-run game where he can get the four-out save. And, hey, I feel very comfortable with him being the closer.
I think a lot of people do. It was electrifying what he was doing today.
Oh, I know, especially, like, attacking the Rangers hitters, especially on guys who've never seen him, and that's the way to do it. You know, if you don't know him, go after him, you know? That's what I like. And you know what? It kind of got me thinking a little bit about this game, especially how low-scoring it was. I mean, the Rangers really pitched the Blue Jays pretty hard in the last couple of games. You know what? Sometimes you're going to have to, you know, to keep up with them as far as pitching goes. I mean, yeah, you're going to, you know, have your team score runs, but you also have to, you know, try to stop the other team from scoring as well, you know? And that's why I think having these one-run games is kind of a confidence booster for the Blue Jays, you know, to say, you know what, we can win those one-run games.
I think they know they can. I think they understand. I think it's more of a confidence booster for the fans than it is for the team, but it certainly is a confidence booster for the fans, for sure.
Now, my second thing is about the giveaway today. I would love to see the Blue Jays bring that type of cap for next year or the year after, whatever, because when I see the Orioles with their caps, it's almost like a part of history is brought back, like tradition and that sort of thing, because of the Blue Jays brought back a logo that's kind of a little bit old and sort of new, and I really would love to see the Blue Jays bring the cap that they gave away today and use it when they play their games sometime, you know?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people do, and they had those flashback Fridays where they did that. And I don't think that there's a movement afoot to go back full-time to the white panel hat, but it is kind of cool, nice to see, and maybe this will show them that, hey, every once in a while you break that out and use it on the field. Thanks, Eddie. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays beat the Rangers 3-2. Jays are a game out of first place in the American League East as the Tampa Bay Rays and the New York Yankees both lost today. The Baltimore Orioles won. So right now, the Orioles are playing two. Right now, it's the Rays by a half game over the Yankees and Orioles and a game over the Blue Jays. If the Orioles win the nightcap, They will move into a tie for first with the Rays. If they lose it, they'll move into a tie for third with the Blue Jays. But no matter what, four teams within one game of first place in the American League East at close of business today, and that's an awful lot of fun. Tomorrow, the Jays, well, tomorrow it is a light night on the schedule, but all five teams in the American League East will be playing, including the Blue Jays against the Boston Red Sox. We will have that for you at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. R.A. Dickey against Clay Buchholz. Before we get to the next call, let's listen to Josh Donaldson, who had a visitor before the game, and talked to Barry Davis about that before the game. Then he hit a home run as part of a 2-for-4 day in the Blue Jays 3-2 win, and talked to Barry Davis after the game.
Before the game, you met Stephen Amell. He took batting practice. He hit a home run, and tell me what he said to you.
You know, he asked me if I could hit a homer today, and I was like, if there would be a day for all the campaigning and stuff, all the things he's done for me, today would be a good day, and it just so happened.
How humbling has this been for you to have the support of him, all the fans that have voted for you, Don Cherry as well, over these last few weeks?
It's super humbling. I mean, just kind of, you know, first year being, a Blue Jay, and just the support that I've gotten. And ultimately, what I like to see is my teammates succeed. And, today we had a great victory.
You guys have run into some really tough pitching these last couple of days. The first time you guys have won with getting four hits or less, you're winning some of those one-run games now. How important are those at the end of the day?
Well, I think what's important is we've had a good at-bats for the last 3 days. And, you know, we've hit some balls hard, and, they happen to be in the right places. But at the end of the day, we're out there grinding every day. And, the ball's starting to fall away a little bit.
And finally, just if you can speak to the job Roberto Osuna did today.
He did great. You know, he mixed it up, got a fastball changeup, got a great changeup. Leads off the inning with a double and comes back, probably one of the hottest hitters in baseball with Prince Fielder, and is able to give him the pop up. And, Adrian Beltre is no slouch himself. He's been doing it for years. And just to really, show a lot of kahunas, it's nice.
Well, listen, thanks a lot. Congratulations.
All right, thank you.
So there's Josh Donaldson. I guess now we have a choice between Asuna Matata and the big kahuna for the Blue Jays' new closer. Roberto Asuna gets the job done as the Blue Jays beat the Rangers 3-2. Josh Donaldson with a home run, his 18th of the year, that got everything started. The Jays had sent the first 10 batters up to the plate with nothing to show for it against the rookie Chichi Gonzalez until Donaldson took him deep. Jays built the 3-0 lead and then held on for the 3-2 win. Donnie in Toronto, you're next on Jay's Talk. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike, what's up, buddy?
Everything is good.
Yeah, me and you talked about 30 games into the season, and you were a little worried about this team. You didn't think they were that good.
What?
But now, they're starting to come together. I see you're talking pretty straight with them. Listen, I want to tell you also this. The Blue Jays, I don't think we got much to worry about. I think they're playing well. But you, yourself, you should be a manager. You know this game. You know this game well.
Okay.
So if you ever lose your job at the Fan, we could use you as a baseball manager. Yeah, I think the team is playing great. Gibbons is a heck of a manager. I agree with you what you're talking about with the pitching. A lot of guys are not confident. This guy, I think this team is coming together, and, we're going to go a little ways. What do you think?
I do. I've contrary to your thesis statement to begin your call, I have not really wavered off of that all year, that I think that this is a team that is easily very much capable of winning the division, as is the best, the most talented team in the division, and probably the best team in the division. So I do think that this team could go a long way. There's a long way to go, though. There are still 85 games left, more than half a season to go, and they have to stay healthy, and they have to keep playing well, and good things will happen.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too. Yeah, as long as they stay healthy, I think they got the right chemistry going. I don't think we need too much more for this team. Staying healthy is the key. Staying healthy is the key to get through the but I think, I really do believe they will make the playoffs. How far they go, I'm not sure. But they're coming together. The chemistry looks good. Gibbons is a heck of a manager, like I said. And one more time, I'm going to tell you, if you ever give up your job at the Fan, you'd be a heck of a manager because you do know this game. And I'm not trying to do anything to pat on the back or anything, but listen, you do know the game, and you tell it like it is, and that's why I called in, brother.
Thanks, Donnie. Appreciate the call. I'm sure me managing would not go over well in many, many, many different quarters of everything. Clark is in Georgian Bluffs. Hey, Clark.
Hi, Manager Mike.
Hello.
A comment, and then I want to test your memory on a couple of things.
Uh-huh.
Don't you just love the parody in the East? It makes for such an exciting time. It sure beats the Yanks being out by up on front by 8 games or something.
I'm not sure how much of a fan of parody I am, honestly. I like excitement and fun, sure, but I wouldn't mind seeing a team win 5 years in a row if they were an all-time great sort of conflagration of ball players. It would be nice if it was this team.
But
dynasties are fun too.
Yeah. The other day, there's a situation, man on third, very fast. It might have been Carrera. Less than 2 outs, man at the plate, strikes out, catcher drops the ball. Batter runs to first base, catcher steps out to throw to first base. Have you ever seen the man on third base take home in that situation?
I think I've seen a guy try. I'm pretty sure I've seen somebody try. I don't believe he was successful. If the catcher's smart, what he'll do and what they'll usually do is take a look at that runner and kind of look him back before they make the throw to first. If the ball gets too far away, then that's a wild pitch and, you know, everybody's
right.
going to score and everybody's going to move around.
Right.
But I think I've seen somebody try. I don't think I've ever seen anyone actually score unless it was a legit wild pitch.
Well, and we know that the guys can throw it a lot faster than you can run it.
Yes.
Yeah. The other one was, are you allowed to switch player positions on the field whenever you want?
Yes.
And have you ever seen that?
Yeah, way back in the late 80s, I don't remember why it happened, but Pat Borders had to play the infield for the Blue Jays, and I think Cecil Fielder did too. And what would happen was when there was a right-handed batter up, Kelly Gruber would play third base,
right.
And Borders would play second. And when there was a left-handed batter up, Gruber would move to second, and Borders would move to third. I think they did that same thing with Cecil Fielder. You don't see it very often because it doesn't seem like a really sound strategy. It's kind of an any port in the storm sort of thing.
Yep.
But, yes, you're allowed to do that.
I was just wondering if there was a real disparity between the right fielder and the left fielder, if they would do a switch on occasion with pole hitters, et cetera.
No, I've never seen that.
You've never seen that?
No. Only when there's a pitcher in the outfield. The Cardinals used to do that in the 80s, too. Whitey Herzog used to love to bring in a reliever and then a right-hander to face a right-hander.
Yeah.
When a left-hander came to the plate, he'd stick him in right field. Or left field and move them around and stuff. But, you can move your players all over the field on every pitch if you want.
Okay. Well, there's a strategy for you, Mike, when you become manager.
Yeah, I don't think I would do that when I become manager.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you for the call. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Drew Hutchison threw 5 2/3 innings of four-hitter, did not allow an earned run, walked 3, struck out 8, cruised through 5, and then left in a bases-loaded jam in the 6th inning that Aaron Loop managed to pitch his way out of. Here's what Drew Hutchison had to say to the assembled assemblage after his outing.
Those odd occasions where you didn't get 6-7 runs of support, and you cruised through those first 5 innings. Just talk about what you were able to do today.
Yeah, I had a good changeup today. I thought I located the ball well. Obviously disappointing to have to get deeper in the game, to be, you know, kind of in control of the game at that point and get the first guy out and not be able to make a pitch there with 2 outs, you know, the hit and then the walk. But, our bullpen came in, did a great job, and it's a really good all-around win.
And just talk about the job Asuna did to come in and get that final out of the 8th and then do what he did.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're getting used to it, but obviously what he's been doing this year has been unbelievable. You know, Delbar had a big strike out there also, and Loop in the 6th, you know. Bullpen did a great job, you know, all together, and then, you know, Asuna continues to just be unbelievable. So, you know, it was a good win, and good to win the series.
Do you need to see it? Do you need actually to, you know, to throw it in the game and get somebody's reaction to it?
I mean, yeah, I think it just comes down to me executing the pitch. You know, like anything else, there's times in the bullpen when you're awesome, you get it handed to you, and, you know, vice versa. So, you know, down there, you know, you're warming up the pitch. You know, you're not pitching down there. You know, so I felt like today I did a good job of throwing a lot of changeups and throwing a lot of quality changeups, and I think my fastball played better off of that because of it.
Yeah, Drew Hutchison did throw a bunch of quality changeups today, threw a couple of killer sliders as well, and was really good through five innings before getting nickel and dimed in the sixth, coming out with the bases loaded and having Aaron Loop come in and strike out Leonis Martin to get out of that jam. Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers by a score of 3-2. It's Jays Talk. I'm Mike Wilner. Back to the phones. Jay in Orillia. Hey, Jay.
Oh, hey, Mike. I have a comment and a question. Comment sure. is, for some reason, I feel stronger right now today for the Blue Jays going to the playoffs and winning their division than I did last year in June when they were a few games over. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because strong offense consistently is more dependable. Maybe. I'm not really sure.
I think it's because last year at this time in June, they were losing for 3 weeks.
Well,
and everybody was just waiting for the wheels to fall off.
I mean, when they were like, they were up by six games or so, and everybody was like, when's the move going to happen? There was this weird feeling that something was going to collapse. But regardless, here's my question. Over the last few days, I've heard two comments that don't really make sense to me. One was this morning, Ken Rosenthal said, San Diego's in the trade market. I don't know if they're talking with the Blue Jays or not about making a trade. And he says, we're not sure if San Diego would be willing to part with some of their players, you know, big-name players, because the All-Star game is scheduled to be in San Diego. I don't know if it's 2016 or 2017. And another comment I heard coming out of Cincinnati, they're not sure if Cincinnati would be wanting to trade Chapman or Cueto or make a move before the All-Star game. Does it really matter? I mean, do you really think the fans in Cincinnati or San Diego would care? Would it really take anything away from the All-Star game in that specific city if they're making moves? I mean, you know, the Reds and the San Diego Padres are obviously on the outside looking in at divisions with really strong teams that are ahead of them. That maybe if such and such would happen, it would happen in Cincinnati after the All-Star break, or San Diego may not want to do it because of the perception. We've also heard about Atlanta making moves or not making moves, trying to get a team to be more competitive because they're moving into a new stadium.
Yeah, all that stuff makes sense to me.
I mean, if San Diego has got to pass the Giants and the Dodgers, and it's unlikely that they'll do so this year, although anything's possible.
They're four and a half games out with half a season to go.
Yeah.
You know, it's far from over.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if it's fantasy baseball that has changed people's mindsets because it's so easy to make trades and people are willing to give up so early and all that stuff when they're playing fantasy, or if it's just the you know, I want what I want and I want it right now mindset that we're in the 21st century that has people think that, you know, even an 8-game deficit at this point in the season is insurmountable. It's not. And the thing is, the people who are the general managers and the people inside the game do fully understand that and shouldn't be willing to pull the plug, especially a team like San Diego where they've been. But as far as the Cincinnati Reds are concerned, the All-Star game is in their city this year. They don't want to host an All-Star game after they're already making white flag trades. So the mood in the city, the fan base is upset, all that stuff. I think that's the way people think, business model-wise. And, you know, for the Reds, unless they're going to get overwhelmed by an offer right now that's going to get them a bunch more than they think they're going to get later in July when more teams might be a little bit more desperate to add some of their players, I wouldn't be in any hurry if I was in Cincinnati either.
So seeing that the Reds and the Blue Jays seem to have players that each team would maybe desire, I don't really know what's value for what's value. I'm not a GM, and if I try and guess, I can't.
Right.
But for her, I mean, we've all talked about a starter. If Johnny Cueto is most likely not going to be signed by Cincinnati and he's going to be dealt maybe in the end of July, let's just say, for a guy who has no guarantee to sign with the Jays. And I don't know if there could be a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we'll trade you, Johnny Cueto, but you have to be able to give Blue Jays first dibs on an offer. What kind of trade or what's the value that Cincinnati would want in return? And remember, if they're out of the playoffs by the end of July or the beginning of August, and the Jays have thought about maybe having Daniel Norris tradable, quote-unquote, or Miguel Castro tradable, or maybe Boyd, who we've seen pitch this yesterday, tradable. Is that enough, or is it going to cost more to get 2.5 months out of a guy like Cueto?
I think it's going to cost more. I can guarantee it's going to cost more. We're up against the clock, so I got to let you go. There are going to be multiple suitors. They are all going to be offering their finest meats and cheeses if Johnny Cueto remains healthy at that point. And look, if the Cincinnati Reds trade Johnny Cueto, they're trading Johnny Cueto and a first-round pick, because if they give him a qualifying offer in the offseason, he gets a first-rounder. So, or they bring back a first-rounder. So that's what you have to do. You have to give them the value of that first-round pick plus something that would make them want to trade Cueto, because if they keep him, they get the first-rounder anyway. So, yeah, they'll save a little bit of money. That'll help in moving the contract. But it's got to be a package that's first-round pick plus, because that's what they're giving up in trading him. So Daniel Norris alone, Miguel Castro alone, Matt Boyd alone certainly would not be close to enough to get Johnny Cueto. And remember as well, as much as we want to see things from a Toronto perspective, everybody needs starting pitching. Everybody in a race is going to be willing to pay a lot for starting pitching. There's going to be a lot of competition. So you don't have to just give the Cincinnati Reds what they want, because everybody's going to want to give the Cincinnati Reds what they want. You got to beat that best offer that's out there. And whatever the Blue Jays have to give up, a lot of people around here are not going to be comfortable with. Blue Jays and Red Sox tomorrow at 7. They beat the Rangers 3-2 today. See you then.